17 for a little bit, and then we're just going to kind of wander all over the place for as we get into the message. And, just to try to get us, in the context of where we're at, I think most of us probably know the story of Elijah. We know about how he prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years. And God heard that prayer. And really what Elijah was doing is he was praying something that comes out of, I think it's a 2 Chronicles chapter 12, the same context that we hear the verse all the time, that it says, if my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then would I hear from heaven, and then I will heal their land. That same context, Solomon prays that if my people would turn away from me, don't send them rain. Don't send them rain until they get right. So Elijah prays this prayer about what Solomon said about when God's people kind of turn from it. And, go read all that, all of what Solomon says, and you will see that our country is starting to fall into that groove of the turning away from God. And it's very disappointing when we see that. But Elijah, he recognizes Israel has turned from God. In fact, what they've done is they begin to worship false gods. They had set up some sinners to worship God away from Jerusalem. Jerusalem was where they were supposed to go. That's where they were supposed to go sacrifice. Yet they had set up a place at Bethel and also at Dan. Now, what the archaeologists have discovered is that what was going on at Bethel and Dan looked like what was going on at Jerusalem. The thing is, it wasn't. They were serving a false god. Yes, they used a lot of the same terms that they did in Jerusalem. They even called Baal God, but he wasn't. You can call anything God. You could call this hymn book Jesus, but it's not Jesus. You can give that name to anything, and just because you give it the name doesn't make it the same. And Elijah recognizes this, and he prays, God, don't send them rain for 3.5 years. And Elijah had total confidence that God was going to take care of him, and God did. First, he sent him to this brook. And he maintained him for a while at the brook, and birds would bring him food to eat during the day, and he was sustained by the water from the creek and then from the food that the birds brought to him. But eventually, the creek dried up because there was no rain. And God, the word of the Lord came to Elijah and said, go to Zarephath, a city over in Zidon. If you go north in Israel, you find that this is just on the outskirts of the border of Israel. And he said, there's a woman there that I have prepared to take care of you. The thing is, this woman didn't know that she was prepared by God to take care of it. You know, a lot of times God is preparing you for something and you don't even know that he's preparing you for it. It's like when it happens, it just happens. But he's been working in your life up to that point. And this woman, she had no idea God was preparing her for something, because look, think about this, what's going on in her life. She's lost her husband. She has no means of support. She has no means to make money. She thinks that she's about to die. She's like, all I've got left is a little bit of, just a handful of meal and enough oil to cook it with. And she's out at the gate of the city. She's looking for 2 sticks. That's all she needs. You know, I went camping with the kids this week, and We would go, and I would cook a lot on the grill, and I like doing it the old-fashioned way with sticks and stuff, but instead of using charcoal. So I make the kids, gives them something to do anyway. They go out and they gather a bunch of sticks, and we cleaned up that campground. 3 days there, we cleaned up the campground, because it takes a lot of sticks to prepare the meals for my crew and for the food that we have. And they ate well. They think, man, this is like the lap of luxury. When we go camping, we're getting a lot of meat products, hamburgers and hot dogs. We even cooked breakfast one morning with bacon and sausage, and they're loving this stuff. This woman, she needs two sticks. That's all it's going to take to make her last meal. That's what she thinks. This is her last meal. She's like, how is God preparing me for anything? That is the furthest thing from her mind. The thing is, just because God may, what her next step in life may have been the furthest thing from her life, yet, and God's like, you're right where I need you to be. You're right where only faith can get you through to the next day. God, I don't know what I'm going to do for my last meal. She thinks that she's gathering up two sticks. And all of a sudden, this guy shows up. And he calls out to the lady, hey, would you bring me some water? I've been walking for a long time. I'm thirsty. And she thinks, I'll go get you some water. All right, I'll go get you some water. Would you bring me back a cake? And she turns to him and she's like, sir, I don't have a cake. All I have is a handful of meal and a small cruse of oil. That's all I've got for food. I don't have a cake. I've barely got a biscuit, and me and my son, we're gonna cook it, and that's going to be our last meal. We're going to divide it between the two of us, and then we're going to die. And Elijah says, go and do what you said, except first, make me a little cake, and then make for yourself and your son. Because thus saith the Lord, the cruse of oil is going to last, and the meal is going to last until the day that God sends rain. And the woman goes back. The scripture doesn't say she questions that. She just goes and she does what he says. And you know what God does? Elijah gets a cake. She gets a cake. Her son gets a cake. And she thinks it's all used up. But every time she sticks her hand in to get a little bit more meal, there's still meal. Every time she starts pouring the cruse, it never runs out. God has prepared her for such a time as this. She didn't lose faith, and God prepared her. And you know, I just see so much of a parallel between that woman and, I tell you, a lot of ladies that are living during our day and time. You know, it's Mother's Day, so this is kind of tailored towards the ladies, but the application can be had by all. Would y'all pray with me? Dear Lord, I just want to ask for your grace, for your mercy. I want to thank you that you do supply all of our needs and that you prepare us for the future. Even though we don't think that we're being prepared, you are preparing us. Help us, Lord, to have your wisdom and discretion. Would you help us to gain some application from what this lady experienced in her life and how you grew her in her own faith towards you. So I just ask, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy. I ask for the power of your Holy Spirit that I may be able to speak your words and not my opinion. That you would touch also the people that are here today. That you will give them a special blessing, Lord, that they may know you and the power of your salvation and of your resurrection, the fellowship of your suffering, so that they may experience you in a whole new and wonderful way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So the first thing I want us to see here is that this woman, she recognized that there was an absolute need. She recognized the need of Elijah. She recognized the need of herself and her son. But she was willing to help someone else's need first. You know who does that? People that have a Christ-centered life. That they're looking at others as better than themselves. The book of Romans talks about that a little bit. That they look at others and they see the importance of them. They see the value of them. we live in a day and time that I think that we have lost the value of others. We think that we're more valuable than what they are. And you know what really increases your value? Recognizing the value of others before yourself. We're missing that. I've never seen it worse than the past 2 months. That people really are really looking in on their own selves more than they ever have. Instead of recognizing the needs of others, they're like, I must go into self-preservation first. Listen, do like this lady, honor God and His Word first. You know, Elijah didn't come in saying, hey, I'm some big shot, I need you. I'm the best preacher in town. And he probably was the best preacher in town. He might have been the only preacher in town. That makes it easy to be the best, right? So he comes in and he's like, would you make me a cake? For thus saith the Lord, He's going to sustain you. He's going to supply your needs. And she listened to it. And she was willing to serve God first. Listen to this verse in Luke chapter 6 and verse 38. It says, give, and it shall be given unto you. Good measure, pressed down and shaken together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. You know, I think we miss this verse whenever we're reading through the Gospels. Because this is one of Jesus' teachings. He's saying, if you want to know how God gives to you, be a giver. And I'm not talking about money. I'm talking about you yourself. You know, if you can give yourself first, He says God gives to you. And He actually gives to you through other people most of the time. Sometimes He just, you know, He just gives it to you just straight out. But a lot of times He gives to you through other people. They don't even know that God has got His hand in their life, that He's directing their thoughts and their attentions, and you're being blessed because of what they're doing. They may not even be a God-fearer. They may not be a God-server. But God can bless you through them. I love it when God uses the most wicked person to bless His people. It reminds me of William Tyndale. Anybody know who that is? Raise your hand if you know who William Tyndale is. A couple people know. Anybody got a Bible with them today? Is it in English? You could thank William Tyndale. He was the one who first wrote the Scriptures in the English language. And he's translating it, and he's got this rough copy, and it's not really a very good one. But there's some people who do not want the Scriptures being taken, being translated into the English language. So they're working against him. And they're using the governing bodies to work against him, and they get all this money. And they go and they buy they want to go buy all these texts that are out there. And William Tyndale, he's not liking that text. He's like, I could do a better job than that. And he's talking to this guy and he's like, I need some money. I need this much money to be able to fix all the mistakes that I've made in my translation. I don't know how I'm going to get it. Well, these governing bodies come along and they end up purchasing all of those translations that William Tyndale thinks has errors in it. And guess who the money goes to? William Tyndale. The ones who were against it the most ended up supporting it the most. Hey, that's God right there. That's God. That is how He works. Give, because William Tyndale poured his life into it. He gave everything he had into the society. He's like, the English people need to know the truth of God's Word. If they don't have the truth, how could they be made free? That's what the Scripture says. That Jesus said, This is the truth. The truth will make you free. You know, there's a bunch of stuff going on out there about the lies and the truth, and we don't know what we can believe. We don't know. We're just confused because we don't know who's telling the truth. I can tell you, I don't know what the government's saying and the scientists are saying. They're all saying different things, but I know one thing that it hasn't that is telling me the truth, and that's God's word. The thus saith the Lord. He has given us His truth, and the truth will make you free. Do you recognize the need? Yeah, there's a lot of people sitting at home today. Maybe they're even watching this. You need to get in God's Word. Because there's all kinds of lies floating around out there. You don't know who to believe. I don't know who to believe. You can believe God. You can trust Him. I saw something this morning. The government's changed. Church has changed. People have changed, but one thing that hasn't changed, God's Word still is the same. Yesterday, today, forever, it has not changed one little bit. Jesus said not one jot, not one tittle would be altered from His Word. His Word is the same as it always been. You know what I like the most about His Word? It told us about the Savior coming. It also says He's coming again. You know, there's a lot of doubters and scoffers out there right now. Jesus is coming back. And the next time He comes back, He is not dying for your sins. You will die for your own sins if you have not trusted in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Today, who are you trusting? Are you trusting in the government to give you a vaccine to make sure if you get coronavirus that you don't die? Listen, it is appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. Are you ready to meet your Maker? Have you made peace with the Almighty, as the Scripture says in chapter 5 of Matthew? Have you made peace with your Creator? Do you know Jesus as your Lord and Savior? Have you confessed with your mouth the Lord Jesus Christ? Have you believed in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead? The Scripture says that you shall be saved. Call upon the name of the Lord. Thou shalt be saved. Have you recognized your need? This woman did. She recognizes her needs. She's like, I'm about to die, me and my son. And it is at that point that God sustains her and gets her to the next day, to the next days. She also recognized the situation. You know, that's going to be a very important part for us over the next couple years. Because you think, oh, this is all going to pass away. It's all going to get back to normal. I hate to break it to you. It's never going back to the same as it was before. There has been some radical changes in our government. There's been some radical changes in our churches. There's some radical changes happening in people's personalities. And the thing is, we're reaching back for the past and we're going to be gripping for the good old days. Listen, the Scripture tells us that the closer that it gets to the returning of the Lord, the worse it's going to get. And we are witnessing it with our own eyes. Don't fall into the trap. Don't think it's all going to be okay and that I can just do whatever I want. Listen, Jesus is coming back soon. And He's coming back for His people, and we need to be ready to meet Him. Do you recognize the situation that's going on? The devil knows it. Do you realize that's what all this is about? It's about him operating his system, and he's got this last plan in his mind, and he thinks, I can beat God if I can turn the world against Him. It didn't happen in the past. It's not going to happen in the future. I hate to tell you that, Satan, but he doesn't care what I say. He doesn't care what the Scripture says. The Scripture tells him he's going to be cast into the lake of fire for 1,000 years. And I'm excited about that day. But it's not there yet. So what is he doing right now? He's planning an evil day for you guys and for me. He's planning an evil day. The Scripture tells us that in Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 13. Therefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all, to stand. Listen, the devil's got a plan. Can you see it? Can you see the plan forming? Can you see how he's manipulating governments? Can you see how he's manipulating people? Can you see how he's manipulating churches? Can you see what he's doing? Do you see how our country has closed the churches yet left the abortion centers open? They're an essential business and the church is not. Does that give you a clue? Today, I saw that the family feud for in honor of Mother's Day, they've got this transgender guy and they are promoting that who is playing for his non-profit organization of Planned Parenthood. That's what we're about in this country is abortion. 60 million lives lost. Yet the causer of those lives is not shut down like coronavirus has shut down our nation. More lives have been lost to abortion than coronavirus will ever get. Do you recognize the situation? Do you recognize the direness of what is going on? That the devil has a plan and it's falling into play? I want to read you something in Matthew chapter 24. Look in Matthew chapter 24, starting at verse 9. It says, "Then shall they deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my sake." You know who he's talking about? He's talking about his people. God's people. The saints, the Christians. He talks about all the famines and the pestilences and the earthquakes in diverse places in verse 7. Do you realize that's what we're experiencing right now? We're experiencing the earthquakes in diverse places. We're experiencing the pestilence. That's what a coronavirus is. The pandemic, that's what it's called. That we're going to experience all of these, Jesus said. It's going to be worldwide. He says in verse 8, all of these are just the beginning of sorrows. It's just getting started. Do you recognize the situation? This woman, she recognized she needed that their world, what Israel was going on in Israel was bad news. They had Ahab on the throne and Jezebel pulling the strings. And it was not a good day for Christians. Obadiah, a friend of Elijah, had already taken 100 prophets. He wanted to protect them because Jezebel, she was headhunting. She was looking for all those God-fearers and followers and prophets of God, anybody who would speak against her. And she was chopping off their heads and killing them. And Obadiah had taken 100 by 50s and he was hiding them in caves and feeding them with bread and water. He'd done it for several years to sustain their lives. And Jezebel wanted Elijah. She wanted him dead. But God protected him. But look what verse 9 says, "They shall deliver you up to be afflicted and shall kill you, and you shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and they shall betray one another and shall hate one another." That's verse 10. Do you realize that's what's going on right now? Christians, Christian people are turning against Christian people because they're debating about a face mask. What is wrong with us? Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful ways. Listen, Christians, it shouldn't be about the face mask. It should be about Jesus. How is our witness going forth? We've got to figure this out. We've got to recognize the situation. Look in the next one. And it says, "And many false prophets shall rise and shall deceive many. And because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold." You know, I really hope the church in America can get back in the groove of things and we can get back out there being a witness. But the Scripture says that the false prophets will arise and iniquity shall abound. And the love that Jesus Christ tells us that we're supposed to have will wax cold. because we're going to continue to see these things that we have been seeing that cause us confusions, that makes us not like people who once were our friends, because we have disagreements about what's going on. Listen, we need to get back and focus on what is the most meaningful things. And he says, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And the gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Hey, we still got a ways to go. Our job is not done yet. There are still millions and maybe billions of people dying without Jesus every single day. We've got to stay in the game. We've got to stay in the war, putting on the whole armor of God. Satan's got a plan. God's got a plan too. His name is Jesus Christ. Because it's only by the name of Jesus Christ that people can be saved. There's no other hope in this world. Jesus Christ is our hope. He is our only Savior. Recognize the situation. The third thing that we see this lady did, we don't even know her name. Get that? We don't know her name. She was just a lady that God had been working with, but she recognized God's person. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4 says it like this: endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace, there is one body and one Spirit, even as ye are called in one hope of your calling. You know, there's a lot of division happening out there. That is what Satan wants. He wants division to happen, especially among God's people. You know, the more I study, the more I pray, the more I think about what's going on, I'm like, man, everything that I've been told about how to live a faithful Christian life, I feel like it's been taken away over the past few weeks. Where they said, we must separate. We must stay secluded. We must be isolated. We must stay where we're at. Instead of the coming together, instead of iron sharpening iron. You know, I recently had a knife. When I keep it sharpened, it works. But I don't know what I did to it, but I turned it into like a butter knife. You know what made it a butter knife? It was separated from the whetstone. I didn't sharpen it. I didn't keep it the way that it needed to be. Have you ever cut yourself? What did you cut yourself with? Probably a dull knife, right? They say it's worse than the sharp one. Because the sharp one, you know it's going to be able to do the job, but the dull one, it's not going to do the job right. It's going to slip. It's going to fail. It's not going to do what it needs to do, and then all of a sudden it's going to injure you. You know, I know we've had a lot of Christians separating themselves from the Scripture, separating themselves from fellow believers, because we need that encouragement. We need somebody to step on our toes a little bit, to get us back into shape, to make sure that we're being held accountable. We need to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. It's not about division. We need to think, how do we get back together? How do we take the next step forward after this point? What do we do in September when the virus comes back worse, like they're saying it's going to do? How do we do it? We must keep the unity in the bond of peace. We've got to, and it's going to start by loving one another, not trying to discourage one another, not trying to make others feel bad. John chapter 13 and verse 35 says it like this: by this shall all men know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for another. You see, we've got to recognize God's people. You know, I haven't seen yet when people are having these disagreements that are going on. They just have those disagreements, but none of them have said, you know what, I'm going to be praying for you. If they disagree, they haven't said that. They come back with all this other stuff, trying to make them look like idiots, instead of just saying, you know, I care about you, brother. I love you, sister. What's really going on in your life? Do you realize that's what it is? When all that other stuff is going on, that it looks like on the surface, this is the problem. That's not the problem. There's something deeper going on. It's probably loneliness. It's probably the fact that nobody has really called them and said, hey, how are you doing? Do you know I've been praying about for you? I've been thinking about you. I haven't seen those type of messages. I've had a few people call me. Man, thankful for them. I've called a few people. I hope they're thankful for that. They say they are. Hereby will you know that people will know that you're my disciples if you have love one to another. Not just for, to another. Showing it. The fourth thing is that she recognized what she had. She didn't think it was much. She's like, this is just a small amount of flour, or meal, a small cruse of oil. But what are these against so many days that are looming ahead? What are these? But she said, I do have these. I can make a cake for you, Elijah. I can make a cake for you, but it's just not going to be a very big one. She recognized what she had. Romans 8, 14 through 15. It says, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, that are the sons of God, for ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Hey, you might not think that you have anything. Let me ask you, are you born again? Have you been saved? Do you know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? You have the Holy Spirit. You at least have the Holy Spirit. Let me ask you, what is that worth? It's worth more than all the gold in the world. It's worth more than all the silver in the world. Jesus would say it like this, that what good would it do a man if he could buy the whole world yet lose his own soul? Listen, if you've got the Holy Spirit inside of you, you've got more than you'll ever need. And I'm not just saying that's all God will do for you. He's going to take care of you just like He did this widow woman too. But if you've got the Holy Spirit, that's where you need to start. That's where you need to start. It doesn't matter about the job. It doesn't matter about the bank account. It doesn't matter about the food on the table. It doesn't matter about who is your friends or what kind of vehicle you drive. Those things can go away just like that. But if you got the Holy Spirit, you're not going to fear. God can take care of me. I don't know how He's going to take care of me. I've only got a meal, a handful of meal, and a cruse of oil. I don't know what good these are. That's all I have. If you've got that much, you can cry, Abba, Father. I know You're going to take care of me. Even if this body disappoints me, even if this body fails, God, I know You got me. I can rightfully sing victory in Jesus. You sought me. You bought me. I belong to you. Whatever value that I have is in your eyes. If you value me enough to take me home to glory, I'm okay with that. Because I know that you've prepared a place for me. If it were not so, you would have told me. I'm okay with that. God, if you decide to leave me here, I want to serve you with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength. I'm not going to live in a spirit of fear where bondage is. I'm not going to be bound by fear, but I'm going to live according to the courage and the boldness that you have put inside of your spirit. And I'm going to let your spirit live through me. I'm not going to be afraid of tomorrow because I know who holds tomorrow. His name is Jesus. He can handle it. I don't have to be afraid. I may not have much to offer in this world, but I know Jesus can use whatever it is that I have. He's the one who gave it to me. If He wanted me to use $1 million, He would give me $1 million. Apparently, He doesn't think that I could use $1 million for Him. I gave up on my first million. I'm working on my second, Brother Bob. The first million just didn't work out. But what I do have, I can use for God. It may not be much. A handful of meal and a little cruse of oil. It reminds me of a little boy in the Gospels who just had a few fish and two loaves of bread. What was Jesus able to do with that? It was only enough for that guy, for that little boy to have a meal during the day, maybe two meals. He might can make two meals out of it. I really don't think so. I think what the scholars say is that the fish were kind of like, you know, what I throw back. They're too small to keep. But that's what that little boy, he had those little bitty fish. I use them for trout line bait. But that was that little boy's meal. And Jesus would take those small fishes and those loaves of bread and feed the thousands with just a little bit. You know, you might not have much today, but little is much when God is in it. Little is a whole bunch when God is in it. And He wants you to recognize the needs of others. He wants you to recognize the situation. That there are those in dire need, not just need of food, but in need of salvation. That evil day is coming. Are we prepared for it? Recognize God's people. Make sure you're taking care of them. And recognize what you've got. You may think it's not much, but little really is much when God is in it. I'm going to pray, and while I'm praying, I'd like my kids to come on up, help me out with something. Dear Lord, I just want to thank you that you are so good. I want to thank you for being a blessing to us. I want to thank you for the United States of America and the leaders that you have put into place. And I just want to ask, Lord, that you will keep working with our leaders. Help them, Lord, to see the direness of our situation and help them to recognize you as the Savior. That they would quit fighting against you and recognize your arm and your mighty hand. Draw our nation back to you, Lord. Help us to repent of our sins and to turn from our wicked ways, humbling ourselves so that you may heal our land. Guide us, Lord, in these things. Help us to be your people during a very difficult and dangerous time. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The kids and I are going to sing a song for you. Y'all can sing along with us if you want. It's on page 661.